Well, back again. Well, guys, am I taking it 5-2 or quarter after today? Depends on how many I see looking at their watches and yawning. So we got so. But we got the rope trick today. I saw this, and I'm going to share it with everybody. Yes, it's a good illustration. There's the rope, right here. So we're going to... I look at it this way. Why do I have the rope? It's my job to rope them in. Right? Up here? Hey, Ray had some good jokes today. If you get a chance, he had some good stuff today. I don't know what's going on. Well, actually, I do know what's going on. You know, you look at everything going on in the world, and I just, you know, like I think David said, you know, life is like grass that grows and then is mown later on that day. There's just a vapor down here. Just everybody just does not think about that stuff. And if anything, they don't think of eternity. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, when you go to funerals, that's what you think about. It's like, well, they're there, but I'm not there. But deep down, I know I'm going to be there one day. So what happens after that? And, you know, eternal rewards down here, too. As a believer, what you do for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to get into that. I mean, it's like what you do for Christ lasts. What you do for your personal self and your own way of living, dies permanently. I mean, it's just a myth. Today we're going to look at rewards or regrets. Rewards or regrets in life. And we're going to look at that too. But one at a time. So Lord, let me just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this church, Lord. You know, thank you for keeping us focused. Lord, I think of this church a little bit when we got into Revelation this morning, the Church of Philadelphia. That's what we want to do. You know, we want to live for you, Lord, and do good things for you, Lord, to promote your kingdom. You know, we got the blessings of that kids' club on Wednesday nights, Lord, and David and Aurora conducting the guys downstairs just to further their education in you. That's a good thing, and that's what we want down here, Lord. We don't want regrets, we want rewards, and then you promise us that. So, Lord, I just pray for this message today, you know, and hopefully we can learn something. I know I did, Lord, and I'm blessed that when Dan asked me to speak, it's just an honor to do it in your behalf, and you get the glory, not us or me or... You know, we just keep learning about you, Lord, and we got all eternity to keep learning about you. So, Lord, just want to lift this time up now in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. So we're going to talk about forgetting our past. You know, as believers, you know, a lot of believers, you know, they think about their past. You know, and they've got regrets and stuff like that. But when you're a believer, I mean, that's the old man that has been crucified. You know, we're to be optimistic and look towards the future. People get stuck in the past. You know, it's just like, God, you know, will he forgive me for everything? And this, and it goes on and on and on. We're going to look at some scriptures about that. But, you know, we're supposed to be looking towards the future. We all have regrets, especially when we're young. You know, I look back and I try to tell kids now how I could have lived life differently. And I tell them not to make the same mistake. One of my favorites is I wish I would have read the book of Proverbs when I was 20 years old. It would have changed my whole path. I mean, from 20 till I probably got back to church back in 2005. You know, it's like how we spend our time with our money, and we do foolish things, or where we live, and we're not, you know, not thankful. I look at, you know, when I was younger, you know, did I thank God like I do now? No. Do I thank him for providing for me like I did back then? No, I didn't back then. Did I thank him for where I lived back then? No. But, you know, that's you know, you mature into that. And we thought time would never end at some point, or we're going to live forever down here. That's the deception as being young, is you think you're just going to, we joke about 1,000 years everybody's going to live down here. You're talking 2,000-3,000 years, what you think back then. You know, you think you're, that's just never a thought. And you probably go to less funerals back then as you do now, because the older you get, the more funerals you go to. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Right, guys? It's true. I didn't go to a lot when I was in my teens or 20s or even 30s. But once you get into your 40s, 50s, and 60s, you know, they're more, you know, they come up because life ends, okay? I remember when I was a young kid, my he was my mom's brother, died of a heart attack. It was back when I was, I think, 10 or 11. It was real shocking to me to go to a funeral, to see him there. You know, it kind of gets into your brain, but you're a young kid, you don't know any better. But, you know, but that is just foolish thinking, you know, about ourselves and our sin and, you know, not loving one another, and we're not living for Jesus Christ, you know. I mean, it's just like, as I said, you know, we think we've got all the time in the world, and then we think we've got time to get right with Him later on in life. A lot of people, the devil puts that deception, is basically he's like saying, hey, you've got all the time, go do what you want to do. Do this, do that, do work, do your pleasures, get yourself together, but then come back around later on, you know. So as we're going to look at eternity, you know, this is the rope. This is what I saw. I'm sharing. This is a good illustration. Here's a rope, okay? Here's a rope. Okay. And here's a red part of this rope right here. Okay? Now, granted, okay, the red part here represents our time on earth. Okay? Now, this part, I was running out of money when I went to the hardware store to get this. So I wanted to take it as farther out as I could take it. I mean, if you want, you could technically take a wheel and take it 45 miles down Telegraph Road. But, you know, that's another story. But anyway, the illustration says it. So this is our time on Earth right here. That little area right there. Okay, we're born, graduate, get married, maybe not get married, work, get a career, go to college. And everybody is always consumed about just this little speck that we have in time down here. You know, they don't think of when that stops and this goes on and on and on. Eternity. And their focus is that red part, because we imagine this rope that goes on forever, and it's all it is the timeline of existence. And it exists for eternity. The red part, as I said, represents our time on earth. A few short years on earth, and then all eternity somewhere else, for what the Bible says to be either with the Lord or not with the Lord. Okay? And what blows my mind is that some of us focus on nothing but the red part, believers and unbelievers. Example, I'm going to do this, I'm going to save, I'm going to retire, I'm going to enjoy many, many years down here. And the last part is not taking thought of eternity and getting consumed with that. And I want to travel, I want to do so much with my life, but they don't think about this part of the rope of eternity. They're planning. It's like, but you're planning for what? You plan on everything in life. What I'm going to do when I retire? Where I'm going to work? Where I'm going to live? But it's like, then what? Then what? Then what? I mean, down here, everybody's lives are in the red part of it. And it's very deceptive because you get locked into that type of thinking. When I went to get this rope last, and it's kind of funny, I asked the clerk, I said, I need some rope to do illustration, all right? So as a young kid, he's 16 years old. He goes, oh, I'll take you back. I said, so you're an expert in ropes. He goes, yeah, I'm a rope. I'm an expert in rope ropes. I thought, oh, okay, I need a rope, just a regular rope. Okay, we go back there. And I'm looking at this, like, clothesline rope. I said, no, give me something thicker. I said, not too expensive. I mean, my church is worth it, but, you know, not that worth it. But so he gets me back there. And I said, well, no, give me the thicker rope. He goes, okay, so how much you want? So we're rolling the stuff out. How much is it a foot? Yeah, $1.50 a foot. I said, you know, I'll spend $10 or something like that, just for my own. He goes, okay. And so we're cutting, and I said, I think that'll be enough. I said, maybe I should get another couple of feet, because I really want to drag the last part of it on to make my point. He goes, okay. So he's a really smart kid. I mean, he's really brilliant and smart, because I'm starting to talk to him. He goes, can I ask you what this is about? I said, wow, the Lord is opening another door for this. I said, well, I'm a Bible preacher, and I'm giving a sermon tomorrow on what it's like living here briefly and then dying and going into eternity. I said, I'm a Christian. He goes, well, I'm an atheist. I said, no kidding. I'm put on the spot with this kid. And I'm trying to, he's a smart guy, smart kid. And I said, well, listen, I said, you know, I don't see how somebody could be an atheist. And I was talking to Helmut this morning about that. He made it to Helmut. He's got a good point about trying to talk to atheists. And I said, well, how could something out of absolutely nothing make everything down? And he didn't have one word to say about that. I said, something has created, you know, an atheist does have no, they just live any way they want, they believe anything they want, they do anything they want, they've got no conception. And like Helmut said this morning, we were talking about, you know, gravity. That's a great point, man. You know, gravity, if it comes down, why doesn't it go back up? They can't explain gravity like we were talking about. Hopefully that is, but that's true. You know, you throw something up in the air, it's pretty basic. It's going to come back down, right? Well, why doesn't it force itself up, Helmut? So anyway, so I'm telling him about my illustration. So he goes, okay. I said, he goes, well, I just don't believe. I said, well, listen. I said, if you want to learn about the Bible, I gave him my business card. I said, feel free to call me anytime you want to. And I gave it to him. He goes, well, how am I supposed to get it? Before I gave him the card, I said, well, how am I supposed to get a hold of you? I said, here. I pulled my wallet out and gave him a card. Because if somebody, the thing about people that are atheists is two things. They don't listen and they don't understand. It's just two things in life. You have to listen and research it. They're so closed-minded. You know, and you need to understand. Okay? You know, the Apostle Paul looked at stuff totally differently down there. He said, for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And we are living for Christ daily. You know, are we living for Christ daily, basically? Or are we living for ourselves in this red part over here? Paul couldn't wait to die. Isn't that interesting? And to be with Christ, which is what? Far better. Paul says, keep your eyes on the prize. Our citizenship is in heaven, not down here. Life is not short. It's very, very short. It's not short. I've added to that. It's very, very short. Paul is also saying, you want to be like Christ, imitate me. That's bold. But Paul did. Paul lived that life. Imitate me. Don't get distracted. Be an example to others. Don't think on the red part so much, but think about crossing the line apart from the red part. I mean, we all have something to do for the Lord down here. It's funny, I've heard so many stories of people retiring, as I said, and a few months later they die, or if it's even sooner, or stuff like that. Philippians 3:12 says, not that I have already reached the goal, or I am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it, because I also have been taken hold by Jesus Christ. You know, it goes on to say, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, forget about your past, focus on your future, and reaching forward to what is ahead. Don't focus on the past. Paul is saying here is to follow his pattern of living. Paul also acknowledges his imperfection too. Not like reaching the goal or not already perfect speaks of his need for growth. He says, I still need to grow. Making every effort speaks of discipline and focus. It's saying Paul had not yet reached perfection. He inspired to complete salvation through resurrection. The word pursue speaks of the goal and prize, like an athlete who focuses his energy on the reward at the end. You know, if you think about an athlete, you know, I was kind of like watching part of the baseball game last night. I don't know if anybody watched the Padres and the Phillies, but, you know, you see their focus. They want to win a World Series, you know. I mean, that's what an athlete trains for. A pitcher throws 100 miles an hour, you know, and he needs to hit the strike zone. I mean, they put so much effort and energy and time and discipline into that. And this is what Paul is encouraging us to do as believers, to be focused. Because in verse 14, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let all of us who are mature think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal also to you. Ask the Holy Spirit for direction. I like that proverb, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. And what? He'll
direct
your path. You know, you go without God, you've got nothing but zigzagging going around life, and you've got more downs than ups, I can guarantee you that. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained. Paul is saying, imitate me. He is confident that he lived correctly before God and man. You think about that? He's saying, I've lived correctly, the right way. Verse 17, it says, join in me, imitate me, brothers and sisters, and pay careful attention to those who live according to the example you have in us. For I have often told you, and now say again, with tears, that may live as enemies at the cross of Christ. These false teachers down here, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. You know, they're not living for the Lord. Their glory is in their shame. They are focused on earthly, temporal things. We're not to do that. Paul spoke with tears because of the damage these false teachers brought to God's work. As enemies of the cross, they were inflated with their own spiritual abilities rather than trusting in the abilities of Christ. You know, that's an important message right there. You know, as believers, you know, we are ambassadors for Christ down here. You know, the more, you know, we go about this temporal life, it's just like the more important I try to think as an ambassador for Christ. Always. You know, not just, you know, at church on Sunday or at Bible study on Wednesday. You know, every day. You know, whether you get along with people about the Lord or you don't, they're going to see your light. They're going to see something different in you. And that means a lot. You know, just being nice to somebody, helping somebody out down here, us having a good word to say about us, encouraging somebody down here is a big deal for the Lord. Okay? Because they're going to see something different in you. They're going to see your light shine. What does that do when they see when you do good works for somebody else? It glorifies the Lord. He's talking about, you know, when somebody does things for now instead of eternity, you know, they get consumed with it down here. Jesus said, you know, a lot of these false prophets that claim to be, he says, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Far from me. And they do a lot of damage. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our bodies down here into His glorious body by the power that enables Him to subject everything, what? Back to Himself. New bodies. Okay? Eternal life. That's all that matters. You know, I'm starting to give up witnessing to my customers. Because it just seems like I keep running into the I get slammed in Newburgh. There's this Muslim lady that I've been doing work for. I have a lot of patience where she's kind of running me around a little bit and stuff like that. And she's talking the other day about getting old, and I said, "Well, you know, you got to die, Mrs. Jordan." You know, I think it was Muslim or something like that. I said, "Well, you got to die." I said, "But you know." She goes, but before I could say another word, she goes, "Yeah, you just, you know, you got to trust in Muhammad and Allah." And I said, "No, you got to trust in Jesus." She goes, "Well, listen, let's not get into that. See that word? See that word? See that word? That one word. And it's the same pattern over the, you say Jesus, and they go, listen, let's not get into that." The last guy, he goes, "Listen, Steve, I heard you put the gutters on." He goes, "I don't want to hear that." Oh, okay. I just try to, a lady, they're into this Muhammad stuff, or whatever, whoever it is, I don't know. So I just said, "No." I said, "No." "Oh, Jesus." She goes, "Well, let's not talk about that. Jesus is the giver and the only giver of eternal life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no salvation, and no one else can give that." So I was thinking the same way. I said, "Look, Muhammad cannot give eternal life. He's just a man, right? Neither can Buddha. Neither can Allah. Neither can Joseph Smith." See, Joseph Smith is the Mormons, and they're worshiping a what? A man. Is Joseph Smith supposed to give you eternal life at the end of your life? Or a rule, the Hindus worship Shiva. Is that right? Is Shiva like one of their gods? Okay. Can Shiva give you eternal life? What about Gandhi? Can he, you're worshiping them too. Can he give eternal life? Or how about these Hollywood celebrities that everybody worships all day long on the internet? All day long, they worship these creatures rather than the Creator. It makes no sense. And the less I look at that, the happier I am. You're watching TV? Don't buy any. None of that stuff. You know, and people are so messed up down here nowadays. Is that they look to these sinners, like we're all sinners, but they're looking towards another human sinner for comfort or some type of gratification or some type of justification for what their sinful lives are. Hey, they're doing it. Why can't I do that? Or they're happy doing what they're doing. Why can't I do that? And then they get behind God's creation, how He made a male and a female, not somebody that doesn't know who they are, or a transgender, or this or that. And you sorrow for these people. It's because of sin. It all goes back to that. Those three letters, S-I-N. It all goes back to that word. And that's why Jesus had to come to rescue us from that. Look at, you know, there is salvation in no other name under heaven given by what? Men by which we must be saved. These were the words of Peter addressing the Jewish leaders in Acts. The Jewish leaders in Acts. The Pharisees, he's making a statement, but they didn't want to believe that, okay? The cross, when Jesus says to deny yourself,
pick up the cross and what? Follow me. You know, we want eternal rewards, not temporal rewards, because Jesus says, see things above, not things on earth. That's a great one in Colossians. Look above. You know, don't look at things here on earth. You know, and we're forgiven. I like what Romans 8 says. This is a good one. It says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay? Who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You know, when you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you know, that guides your path every day. If you live in the flesh, you're going to do fleshly stuff. Drink, drugs, completely lost, being angry, unloving, uncaring, unthankful, disobedient to parents. You know, Jeremiah, and God is such an awesome God that He's going to forgive us for our past, present, and future sins. And Jeremiah 31, 34 says, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. You know, God, He's so awesome. He completely forgets about your past, your sins. I mean, it isn't like He can't. He's unable to do. No, He just completely erases it. I mean, what a great thing! What a great thing! I mean, Isaiah 43:25 says, "And even I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." He will forget them completely. Psalm 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." Jesus said, if you love Him, keep His commandments down here. I mean, to know that your sins are forgiven yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and that doesn't give us a license to go willfully sin. You don't want to do that. I mean, investing in God's kingdom is eternal rewards that we should constantly seek, you know. Witnessing to people or encouraging people, like I said before, or just, you know, just the smallest thing like we're doing now with the kids club. I mean, just these young kids, you know, they're hearing God's word, you know, and we're not going to know until we get into glory how you mold that person's mind towards Christ. And stuff like that. I mean, you know, you don't know what the effects it will have, you know. And when you do good things for the Lord, you know, don't sound a trumpet, you know. You share it with your church, but, you know, Jesus says, well, like the Pharisees, they stand in the synagogue and they're waving their hand, like, look at, I'm helping this guy out, I'm giving him money. You know, I when I studied this message, you know, they used to carry like a little horn. Silver horn. You know, they're trying to draw attention for the applause of men. And Jesus says, do things for the Lord in secret, and the Lord will reward you openly. Okay, that's a, you know, and we share what we do here, but it also says to give honor to where people are doing something for the Lord. Remember, let another man praise you, not yourself. David, what scripture? Is that Proverbs? Okay, yeah. So there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying, if you're looking to go do good stuff and taking pictures and putting on Facebook and saying, hey, you know, hey, I'm doing what I'm doing. Well, look what he's doing. Well, the Lord says you have your reward. You know? That's why when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. Very serious thing, like the mission at once a month. I mean, it's very humbling to go down there and do that ministry. It's really, really good. You know, you just see another side of life that God is so good to us. I mean, you know, what kills me is a lot of people don't thank God for the basic necessities of life, a roof over their head, a good paying job, food, money to pay your bills. You know, you see a guy that goes, when we go on there, they sit on a wooden bench, and their pillow is a book. You know, they've got nothing, and, you know, it's just, you know, and it's not good, you know. I mean, it's just like you feel for these people and stuff like that. Another thing is, like, when you help somebody out, it's like, you know, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. You know, you think about Bible types, magicians, you know, or whatever, you know, the sleight of hand, you know, when they do magic tricks, you can't tell what they're doing because it's so fast. But that's such a good thing, though, you know, and you know, people don't get that, Lord, you know, because your rewards will be rich with God by doing that, you know. Be generous, help others out, you know. We own nothing down here, if you think about it. We don't own our money, our houses, our jewelry, our jobs, our money, or whatever you can want, on our cars. It's all on loan, a temporary loan down here. So I like what we think about. What you do for Christ lasts, what you do for yourself passes. No doubt about that. And, you know, that's the only really way to go. I mean, you know, his rewards, his eternal rewards. Because, you know, as we get back to the rope thing, I mean, it's just, and it's crazy because, you know, I just had my birthday like last week, and what was kind of really weird about it is like 2-3 months ago, it's like, okay, the conference is coming up, and the conference is October 1st. But a year ago, it was like, man, it's so far off, but then here it is. It's like that. It's like, okay, we're in the middle of summer. June, July, we're in the middle of July. Well, now August is coming over. And then September, well, wow, now we're 2 months. And I said, so now I'm not even thinking of my birthday or something like that. I'm thinking, well, okay, the conference. So, well, it's come around. It's like a snap of a finger. I said, what? And I think about it. I said, that was fast. So now we have the conference. Conference is over. I said, well, now I'm looking at my birthday. I said, well, that's in, well, 3 weeks. I said, it's probably going to be a slow boat. And it's like, the next thing I know, after a week, I said, wow, now it's 2 weeks. And I said, now it's 1 week. And life just goes, it just doesn't stop. It just doesn't stop. It's like eternity. It just keeps going. And nothing stops it. And the older you get, the faster it goes. So investing in Jesus and his work down here is such a blessing. And I encourage that, you know, that's wisdom. That, and God gives you that wisdom, and you go about it in his way, not your way. And you're investing in eternity instead of yourselves down here. So what a beautiful message the Lord encourages with. You know, our time is short down here, and we want to make the most of it. And running this church together is such a good thing, and getting visitors in here is such a good thing. You can't go wrong. So, Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for the blessings of this church. We thank you for the Word of God. You know, and I think of that young kid. His name is Ocean, Lord. His name is Ocean over at the Ace Hardware in South Lyon. I lift him up, Lord. I pray that you would call me and I can lead him to you, Lord. And all the other atheists down here, too, Lord, that they're lost. I pray for that lady I was witnessing to, Lord. Mrs. Jordan, lost. And we just thank you for your truth, Lord, because, you know, you, like you say, Lord, you really are the way, and you're the truth, and you're the life, and nobody comes to your Father but by you. And you and the Father are one. It's real easy, and we thank you for the great teachings that you give us, Lord, and let us, you know, go on and do your work, Lord, down here. Do your work and make it last for eternity, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for this church. We just lift the rest of this day up now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. great message about calm. He uses the calm today. Finished with number 365. It's not the end, it's Jesus' calling.